RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listener, welcome to English Bulletin program of a Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesia Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. And to conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment Music Corner. That was our program summary for today, listener. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian Manpower and Transmigration Minister says foreign workers still under control. People's Consultative Assembly MPR awaits official proposal for amendment of the Constitution. Now the news in detail. Indonesian Manpower and Transmigration Minister Hanif Dakiri said that the number of foreign workers in Indonesia is still under control. Hanif also confirmed that the current presence of foreign workers will not threaten domestic workers. Speaking in Indramayu, West Java on Tuesday, the minister said that the number of foreign workers in Indonesia is recorded at 74,000, which includes 21,271 workers from China. In comparison, Minister Hanif said that the number of Indonesian migrant workers in Malaysia is currently exceeding 2 million people, while in Hong Kong, Taiwan, and Macau, the number reaches up to 153,000, 200,000, and 600,000 people, respectively. In total, according to Minister Hanif, there are around 6.5 million Indonesian migrant workers working in foreign countries. The minister also hoped that report related to foreign workers will not be exaggerated. The vice chairman of People's Consultative Assembly MPR Hidayat Nur Wahid said that the amendment of the constitution by restoring the guidelines was still possible. The space of the amendment was mentioned in the Article 37, paragraph 1, 2, 3, 4 of the 1945 constitution. In principle, Hidayat said, the amendment can only be done with a request from the members of the assembly, but there was no one who formally proposed for it. According to the provisions of law, constitutional changes can only be proposed if the proposal be submitted by at least 1 to 3 of the members of the assembly. The proposals must also be submitted in writing. The assembly leaders, he added, had received a proposal from the council. Meanwhile, the proposal from the council not only brought the agenda or agrees to amend the constitution with the guidelines, they also proposed a few chapters. Hidayat said that in principle, the proposed amendment to the constitution is a very good suggestion. It would bring certainty about the future of Indonesia's development plans. The National Counterterrorism Agency, BNPT, has opened an investigation to track down parties that might have helped dispatch three Indonesians who reportedly planned to join militants in war-torn Syria before they were apprehended by security personnel in Turkey. The NPT Chief Commissioner General Suhardi Alyo said in Jakarta Tuesday that he suspected a terrorist link group may have assisted in the departure of the three Indonesians, identified as Tommy Gunawan, a resident of Pekanbaru in Riau, Chang Johana from Bandung, West Java, and Irfan from Jakarta. The Indonesia Stock Exchange IDX, along with the Indonesian Stock Market Clearing House and Indonesian Central Securities Depository, have established Securities Financing Company PT Pendanaan Efek Indonesia, which will begin its operations next year. IDX President Director Tito Sulistyo said on Tuesday in Jakarta that the lender would give loans of up to 100 billion rupiah or $7.4 million to securities. Securities companies could then lend the funds to their customers in the form of margin trading. With help of the loan, margin transactions would increase next year. Overall, it could increase IDX daily transactions, which currently were the second highest in Southeast Asia, only behind Thailand. Tito added that the three institutions have forked out 250 billion rupiah capital for the lender, which in the future might raise to 1 trillion rupiah. Two directors and one commissioner have been nominated and are awaiting for approval from the Financial Service Authority, OJK. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Three units of geothermal power plants PLTP worth 6.18 trillion rupiah or $532.07 million of Pertamina Geothermal Energy, PGE, started to operate on Tuesday. President Joko Widodo has officially commissioned the operation of the three projects on Tuesday in Minahasa, North Sulawesi. The three projects include the fifth and sixth units of PLTP Lahendong, with a capacity of 20 megawatts each in Tompaso, North Sulawesi. State-owned energy company Pertamina, the parent company of PGE, said the project is valued at $282.07 million or 3.3 trillion rupiah. Another project is the third unit of PLTP Ulubalo, with a capacity of 55 megawatt, built with an investment of $250 million, equivalent to 2.8 trillion rupiah. President Director of Pertamina Dwi Sucipto said in his written statement that the completion of the project earlier than scheduled would help the government in its program to cover a shortage in power supply in the country. He added that the project also will provide more jobs that would reduce unemployment rate in the country. The project is expected to boost development of industries in the regions and will encourage development of clean and renewable energy in the country. National Counterterrorism Agency BNPT Chief Commissioner General Suhardi Aliu said on Tuesday in Jakarta that the willingness from families and society in general to embrace former terrorism conflicts plays a key role to curb radicalism because doing the opposite will further drag them into extremism. After signing an agreement with the Central Statistics Agency BPS to map out a national terrorism risk index, Suhardi Aliu said that the success of de-radicalization programs undertaken by former terrorists during their imprisonment highly depended on the level of acceptance their families and communities had for the convicts when they were released. The last item. The Indonesian police has no information yet to confirm that the four suspected terrorists arrested in Purwakarta, West Java, plan to carry out a suicide bombing. Senior Commissioner Martinus Sitompul, a spokesman of the Indonesian police, said on Tuesday in Jakarta that the police believed that two of suspects planned to attack police officers. The four suspects were linked to the Gigon Dewa terrorist group in Bandung, West Java, that was raided in 2013. According to Martinus, the police still have few days before sharing further information on the investigation. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesian Manpower and Transmigration Minister says foreign workers still under control. People Consultative Assembly MPR awaits official proposal for amendment of the Constitution. That was the news.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listener, welcome back to Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. Listener, let us begin with an event of the biggest earthquake in Europe, which occurred on December 28, 1908. The biggest earthquake in the European history occurred in Sicilia and Calabria regions, South Italy.
It has been recorded about 100,000 people died in the disaster. Sicilia and Calabria are known as the earth-prone area. The earthquake, which was occurred on 5:20 a.m. in South Italy, has a magnitude of 7.5 Richter scale. 90% of buildings in the two cities were destroyed. On December 28, 1949, the first president of Indonesia, moving his residence from Yogyakarta Palace to Merdeka Palace, Jakarta. It was initially built in 1824 on an estate owned by the 18th Dutch resident of Yogyakarta, Anthony Hendricks Smeeset. The first building was designed by an architect named Appayan with typical Indian tropical architecture design. The construction of the building was delayed by the ongoing Java War, a rebellion led by Prince Diponegoro, and was only completed in 1832. An earthquake shook and toppled the first palace on June 10, 1867, and the building was initially rebuilt in 1869. The status of Yogyakarta was changed from resident to a province on 19 December 1927, thus the building changed its purpose as the governor's office. During the struggle for independence, the capital city of Jakarta was occupied by Allied force and the government was moved to Yogyakarta on January 6, 1946. The palace became the residence of President Sukarno between 1946 and 1949 until the government was moved back to Jakarta on December 28, 1949. After Suharto became the second president of Indonesia, the palace was made a venue for afternoon parade on every August 17 to commemorate Indonesia's independence. Later, in 1991, the building is used to celebrate every moment of seconds of the Declaration of the Independence. The last event in today's segment of Today in History is to present the last item of the establishment of Garuda Indonesia on December 28, 1949. Indonesia's commercial aviation history began when Indonesian people was in struggle to defend their independence. The first commercial flight from Calcutta to Rangoon was made on January 26, 1949 using a DC-3 Dakota aircraft with a tail number of RI-001 and the name Indonesian Airways. In the same year, on December 28, 1949, another DC-3 aircraft registered as PKDPD and painted with Garuda Indonesian Airways logo flew from Jakarta to Yogyakarta to pick up President Sukarno. This was the first flight made under the name of Garuda Indonesian Airways. The name Garuda was given President Sukarno, which he quoted from a Dutch poem composed by a popular poet that time, Noto Suroto, meaning, "I'm Garuda, Vishnu's bird, which spread its wing high above your archipelago." Then, in a year later, in 1950, Garuda Indonesia officially became a state-owned company. Garuda Indonesia's fleet continued to grow and eventually made its first flight to Mecca, carrying Indonesian Hajj pilgrims in 1956. In 1965, the first flight to European countries started was made with Amsterdam at the final destination. Dear listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.go.id. Focus, daily news and events.
Listener, welcome back to Voi Green. Today we'll inform you about Walhi Lampung Chapter Socializing the Village Forest Program. The Indonesian Forum for the Environment, Walhi Lampung Chapter, Socialized Village Forest Program Register 3 of Gunung Raja Basa, South Lampung, Kalianda Subdistrict, on Saturday, December 24, 2016. The dissemination activities as well as consolidation was attended by representatives of 15 villages from 22 villages which have the right to manage the forest villages. The village forest managers are those who have received the decree of determining a forest village working area. Executive Director of Walhi Lampung, Hendrawan, in his speech said that the socialization and consolidation of village forest was held in order to continue the social forestry advisory work which was delayed in 2014 to 2015. Hendrawan said he would escort people to get a license from the Village Forest Management, Ministry of Environment and Forestry, or the Provincial Government of Lampung. According to Hendrawan, with the latest legal rules, namely the Regulation of the Environment and Forestry Minister, No. 83/2016 on the social forestry, there are some conveniences for residents in the surrounding forest to submit proposals of village forest. In the minister's regulation mentioned, those who have the right to issue the social forestry permit is the Minister of Environment and Forestry or the Governor. Therefore, the Indonesian Environmental Forum, Walhi, will accompany the social forestry in other places, such as in Register 19 Gunung Petung. Based on the indicative map area of social forestry, the social forestry in the province of Lampung spread in several districts and cities, including in the city of Bandar Lampung. Seeing from the scheme, there are assortment of social forestry, such as the forest village, community forest partnership, and the forest plantation. Hopefully, with the social forestry program is able to get the support of many parties, especially of the Regional Representatives Council and the Provincial Government of Lampung. Therefore, it will be issued the Regional Regulation and Governor Regulation on Social Forestry in Lampung Province to facilitate the work of mentoring social forestry in Lampung Province. That was the Voi Green.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Listener, coming up next, news in brief. Indonesian Manpower and Transmigration Minister Hanif Dakiri said that the number of foreign workers in Indonesia is still under control. Minister Hanif also confirmed that the current presence of foreign workers will not threaten domestic workers. Speaking in Indramayu, West Java, the minister said that the number of foreign workers in Indonesia is recorded at 74,000, which includes 21,271 workers from China. The Vice Chairman of People's Consultative Assembly MPR Hidayat Nur Wahid said that the amendment of the Constitution by restoring the guidelines was still possible. The space of the amendment was mentioned in the Article 37, paragraph 1, 2, 3, 4 of the 1945 Constitution. The National Counterterrorism Agency, BNPT, has opened an investigation to track down parties that might have helped dispatch three Indonesians who reportedly planned to join militants in war-torn Syria before they were apprehended by security personnel in Turkey. The Indonesia Stock Exchange, IDX, along with the Indonesian Stock Market Clearing House and Indonesian Central Securities Depository, have established Securities Financing Company PT Pendanaan Efek Indonesia, which will begin its operations next year. 3 units of geothermal power plants, PLTP, worth 6.18 trillion rupiah or $532.07 million of Pertamina Geothermal Energy started to operate on Tuesday. President Joko Widodo has officially commissioned the operation of the 3 projects in Minahasa, North Sulawesi. National Counterterrorism Agency Chief Commissioner General Suhardi Aliu said on Tuesday that the willingness from families and society in general to embrace former terrorism conflicts plays a key role to curb radicalism, because doing the opposite will further drag them into extremism. The Indonesian police has no information yet to confirm that the 4 suspected terrorists arrested in Purwakarta, West Java, plan to carry out a suicide bombing. Senior Commissioner Martinus Sitompul, a spokesman of the Indonesian police, said on Tuesday that the police believed that the 2 of suspects planned to attack police officers. That was news in brief.
Hello, for all the listeners of RRI Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. I am Teddy Lesmana from the Economic Center of the Indonesian Institute of Sciences. Wish Happy New Year 2017. I hope all of you can get the new opportunity and have better life in the coming years 2017. Thank you.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia Broadcasting Daily from Jakarta on frequencies of 95 to 5 kHz. You can also listen to our audio streaming at english.rriworldservice.com. Listener, our next segment is Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, it is nice to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will invite you to visit West Sumatra Province. Stay tuned. Listeners, if you want to enjoy beautiful natural phenomena, we suggest you to go to Tarusan Kamang Lake in West Sumatra. This lake is quite unique because it contains of water in certain time. Someday it is seen so white like lake in general, but in unexpected time, this lake can change to be expanse of green pastures. When becoming the lake, at the middle of the lake, there is like a mound of earth, which is not flooded by water. Because of that, local people call it as Danau Dua Muka or Two-Faced Lake. Listeners, this appearance of lake water into the earth and appearing in green pastures gap without being able to guess the time is thought to occur because of the existence of an underground river. A scarce lake, when groundwater rises, the hallways on the bottom of the hill limestone will poke water and cover pasture. It appears white lake. Whereas when underground river water is down, water is sucked until just seems pasture. At the lake, visitors can enjoy fishing and playing ball while enjoying the scenery, which is really beautiful and still natural. so that it's suitable for you who have photography hobby. If you like going down the cave, there are many active caves under Karst Hills. Past Tarusan Kamanglek was only wide fields which was never considered as tourism object. This lake has begun to be well known since a photographer took pictures this place and some people uploaded the pictures to social media. This place also became location of a film Tenggelamnya Kapal Van der Witch. Tamang Karusan Lake is located at Nagari Kamang Mudia Kamang Magek Subdistrict Agam Regency, West Sumatra Province. From Bukit Tinggi, you can drive a private car or go by public transportation from our Kuning Terminal in Bukit Tinggi. The distance is around 20 kilometers from Bukit Tinggi and takes around 30 minutes. Well, listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder for today featuring Tarusan Kamanglek. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Listener, thank you for still being with us, the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestions or criticism, please drop us a line to Voice of Indonesia, PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia, or to our email address at info@voi.co.id and english@voi.co.id. Listener, now let's listen to our segment, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
How to speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment which invites you to learn Bahasa Indonesia. Today we feature a topic entitled Undangan Pesta, which in English means invitation for party. Stay tuned. Listener, as usual, I will introduce you to the vocabulary and expressions that relate to today's topic of conversation. I'll say them slowly and you can repeat after me. Undangan pesta. Undangan pesta in English, invitation of party. Halo. Halo. In English, hello. Bagaimana kabarmu? Bagaimana kabarmu? In English, how are you? Mengundang. Mengundang in English, to invite. Pesta malam tahun baru. Pesta malam tahun baru. In English, New Year Eve party. Hari Sabtu. Hari Sabtu. Saturday. Menyenangkan. Menyenangkan. Be pleasure or be fun. Teman kantor. Teman kantor. Office colleagues. Jangan lupa. Jangan lupa. Do not forget. Adik. Adik. Younger sister or younger brother. Tentu. Tentu. Of course. Terima kasih. Terima kasih. Thank you. Harus. Harus. Must. Pergi sekarang. Pergi sekarang. To go now. Selamat tinggal. Selamat tinggal. Goodbye. Sampai jumpa. Sampai jumpa. See you.
Now we give you an example of conversation entitled Undangan Pesta, or in English means invitation for party. The conversation is between A. Budi and B. Santi. I'll say the sentence twice slowly and you can repeat after me. A. Budi. Halo Santi, bagaimana kabar kamu? Halo Santi, bagaimana kabar kamu? In English, hello Santi, how are you? B. Santi. Saya baik, apakah ada kabar baru? Saya baik, apakah ada kabar baru? In English, I'm fine. Are there any new news? A. Budi. Saya mengundangmu untuk datang ke pesta malam tahun baru hari Sabtu besok. Saya mengundangmu untuk datang ke pesta malam tahun baru hari Sabtu besok. In English, I invite you to come to the New Year's Eve party on Saturday. B. Santi. Wow, pasti akan menyenangkan. Wow, pasti akan menyenangkan. In English, great. Certainly it will be fun. A. Budi. Ya, saya akan mengundang semua teman kantor. Ya, saya akan mengundang semua teman kantor. In English, yes. I will invite all of our office colleagues. Jangan lupa, datanglah dengan adikmu. Jangan lupa, datanglah dengan adikmu. Do not forget, come with your sister. B. Santi. Tentu, saya akan datang. Terima kasih atas undangannya. Tentu, saya akan datang. Terima kasih atas undangannya. In English, of course, I will come. Thank you for the invitation. A. Budi. Saya harus pergi sekarang. Jangan lupa untuk datang ke pesta itu. Saya harus pergi sekarang. Jangan lupa untuk datang ke pesta itu. In English, I have to go now. Do not forget to come to the party. B. Santi. Ya, sampai jumpa. Ya, sampai jumpa. Okay, see you. A. Budi. Sampai jumpa. Sampai jumpa. In English, see you. Listener, that was today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Hopefully, it can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. We'll see you again with a different topic. Thank you for your attention. See you again tomorrow. And sampai jumpa.
My friends, Christians in Indonesia and other parts of the world, I am the Ambassador of Mexico to Indonesia, Federico Salas. I wish you all a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Muchas felicidades, Feliz Navidad y un muy próspero Año Nuevo. Terima kasih.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern ones. In today's edition, we will introduce you to a young Indonesian pop singer, Jelita Septriasa, or better known as Acha Septriasa. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Ibu. Happy listening.
Saat kau terbaring, dirimu masih tetap terlihat cantik di mataku seperti dulu. Berbagai macam cerita ku dengar, lucu dan jenaka. Ada cinta yang mengalir di katamu, ada kasih bersama, tapi bibirmu selalu mendoa. Begitu lama ku tak di sampingmu, walau ku tahu tak kau tinggalkan ku, walau sedetik pun takkan kau.
Listener, you've just listened to the song by Acha Septriasa entitled Ibu. The presence of Acha Septriasa on the musical industry and Indonesian film industry brings a new color. It is actually not easy to become a teen idol if she does not have talent, capability, and luck. Acha has all of the three elements. Besides having a cute and distinctive voice, the newly married woman also has a good talent for acting. She played and singing at the same time in a film, Heart, which was released in 2006. Since at that time, she has well acceptance from Indonesian music and film lovers. Along with her acting partner in the film Heart, Irwansyah, Acha successfully popularized the song My Heart as the soundtrack of the film. The song, which was composed by Melly Goeslaw, is still enjoyed and lovable among Indonesian music lovers. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled My Heart by Acha Septriasa. Happy listening.
Bisa mungkin tak akan pernah sayangku akan hilang. If you love somebody, could we be this strong? I will fight to win our love, we'll conquer all. Wouldn't raise my love, even just one night. Our love will stay in.
Just popularity not only in Indonesia but also in Malaysia thanks to her songs and movie starring. Acha has not only gained commercially success but also some achievements. In 2012, Acha won the award for Best Female Main Actor in the Citra Indonesia Film Festival 2012 event through her acting in the film entitled Tespek. Well, listener, to conclude our program for today, let's listen to the last song by Acha Septriasa entitled Sampai Menutup Mata. Happy listening.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
Hidup.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Percayakah dirimu pada keindahan cinta yang membuat jiwa ini merona jingga?
Percayakah dirimu pada kekuatan cinta yang memberi kita waktu untuk bersama lagi?
Karena cinta ku ada di sini.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
Membaca mendengar bisikmu. Nyanyikanlah kasih senandung kata hatimu, sebab ku tak sanggup menghatikan getar ini, sebab ku meragu pada dirimu. Mengapa berat ungkapkan cinta padahal ia ada dalam rintai hujan dalam terang.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id. Or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta, 10011 Indonesia, and join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.